Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As I was remarking in Sunday's readings in the last program about the readiness for the coming of Christ, because we know not the day nor the hour. And every year, as we bring to an end a certain calendar year, we come almost to the end of that time. Before the season of Advent is a time to take stock, of my life. Am I living my life in such a way that I know that the first priority in my life is to get to heaven, to put it that way? I suppose there are many more beautiful ways to say it, but to get to heaven, to be united with God, and we're living our life knowing that that's our goal. That's what we value. And that not only do we want to get there, we want to bring the people around us there too. We want to bring the people we love, the people we work with, perhaps the people who are our enemies. Perhaps God is asking of us to forgive them. Remember what John Paul said, and I always say this because I want you to hear this clearly, that forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. You can pursue justice if you've lost property, your name has been smeared in some way, your reputation, any of that. You can pursue justice. It's the attitude. If you want to destroy the other person, God would not accept that. That's not acceptable to God. But if you pursue justice because it's necessary in that situation for your livelihood, your health, your well-being, or that of your family, if there's something that's been spread about you that is terribly unjust, you have a right to seek that your reputation be restored. It's the spirit with which you do it. If you do it because you want to repair things for yourself and for your family, that's fine. If you want to sue them and take them for every penny they're worth out of resentment or revenge, that's not fine. So Jesus asks us to forgive. Am I ready to live my life that way? That's what God is asking. I can't do it by myself, but in Him and by His grace, I can begin the process until it becomes a habit. It takes a lot of practice. Forgive your enemies, says Jesus. Do good to those who persecute you. That's hard. But God rewards it because He wants to bring as many of us as possible into His family for all eternity. We're the ones that decide whether we get there or not. Let's take a look at this first reading from the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must happen soon. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who gives witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ by reporting what he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud, and blessed are those who listen to this prophetic message and heed what is written in it, for the appointed time is near. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. I heard the Lord saying to me, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write this: the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands says this: I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate the wicked. You have tested those who call themselves apostles but are not. You have discovered that they are impostors. Moreover, you have endurance and have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary. So they've done many things right. But look at this. Yet I hold this against you. You have lost the love you had at first. Realize how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. In other words, you used to have a great deal of zeal, willingness to sacrifice, willingness to serve the Lord through his people in all kinds of ways, but you kind of dropped off with all that. Well, I'm older, I'm weary. Your heart needs to be in that place and see what God wants of you. Even if your energy is limited, what does God want of me? Perhaps it's praying for situations. There are all kinds of things that can be done to show our love for God. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. In other words, you would have no place in heaven. Now, God only does that in the most extreme circumstances. Brothers and sisters, are you really a Christian? Are you Christians? Do you seek to follow the Lord? Do you repent when you fail? Do you pick yourself back up? Do you go to the Lord? It's not you doing it perfectly and then presenting the end product to the Lord. You present yourself to the Lord right in the midst of confusion, anger, that you feel defeated because every time you try, you make a mistake or you sin or whatever. You just come to Him right in the middle of all that every day and say, Lord, give me grace, lead me that my life may be more conformed to yours. Would a stranger who had never met me or my family and talked to me for a half hour, would it be clear I was Christian? Not so much because I said I'm a Christian, but because of the way I spoke about other people, the way I revealed what my priorities are in a given situation, the presence of works of charity in my life, etc., etc. Would I be identified as a Christian? Don't do the works just so, okay, I'm doing the works now. Do it out of love for Christ. Do it out to bring the poor to know Him and to love Him. Do it out of the compassionate heart of God. Psalm 1, those who are victorious I will feed from the tree of life. Bless the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on His law day and night. Is your life like that? Do you delight in God's call? Or do you just go out and meet up with anybody who has no morals or no values? You could, if your plan there was to help that person's life change, sure. But why would you deal with people unless you're really evangelizing, which is possible? But look around at those you associate with. You can't change your values by yourself. And being with people who perhaps don't even believe in God, you could help them to come to the Lord, but the first thing is you have to get strong and rooted, and then reach out to them. Those who are victorious I will feed from the tree of life. Bless the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on His law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water. Do you remember my stories about having your roots go down deep? He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fades. Whatever he does prospers, not so the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Brothers and sisters, here's a time to look at these readings and say, is there something God is asking me to change? Now, God will help you. You don't just have to do it and then present the finished product. You go to the Lord and ask Him to teach you how. You read Scripture. You listen to this program or other programs like it and ask the Lord to help you to change. You can change. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how stubborn you are. God is greater than any of that. Open your heart to Him, especially during this Advent season that is almost upon us in another week or so. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he shouted, Jesus of David, Son of David, have pity on me. And the people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. How could he be silent? He couldn't see. He was begging for Jesus. Son of David, have pity on me. And then Jesus stopped and ordered that he, the one that they wanted him to keep quiet, tell him to be silent, keep quiet. But Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? See, that's Jesus. When you come and you're honest about your need, he comes. Lord, please let me see. And Jesus told him, have sight. It's your faith that has saved you. He cried out for Jesus. He didn't care what the crowd said. He didn't care about the embarrassment or the humiliation. He cast all his care on the Lord, and the Lord knew that and saw that and answered him. Jesus told him, have sight. Your faith has saved you. He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. And when they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. All the people gave praise to God. See, when we live our lives in the light, and I don't mean you have to get up with a trumpet and declare to everyone what you're doing and how good you are. That's not the point. The point is that you really genuinely are seeking the Lord. You're seeking to do his will. And when you've got problems and obstacles, you go to him. People see you staying a little longer in church sometimes, or in your own home, if you prefer that, to pray there, to ask God for help. Is your business, is your work anywhere near a Catholic church? If it is, for heaven's sakes, take advantage. It might mean you drop in for 5 minutes or even 3 minutes, and you just say hello to the Lord, and you tell him you love him. You thank him for being there day in and day out, night in and night out, when very few people come. Thank him. Tell him you love him. Ask him to help you to follow him. Ask him to give you the wisdom of his Holy Spirit to you. It's there in you by the sacrament of confirmation. It's there, but how do we learn to use it? Except by the grace of God. Reading the catechism on the gifts of the Holy Spirit is a good idea. But I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, right now, in this time, these days, right now, before the beginning of Advent, take stock. I'm going to do a CD just for Advent. It's not what I'm going to be doing on the radio. It will be another form. But I am going to give a talk on CD that will be available to you at the beginning of Advent or close to it. That may be helpful to you also. But I just want to say to you right now, ask yourself, what's the biggest obstacle that keeps me from drawing closer to the Lord, or that keeps me from trusting him, or keeps me from believing that God would love the likes of me? Doesn't matter where you've been, and it does not matter, in a certain sense, it does not matter what you've done. What matters is that we cry out to Jesus, all of us, and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, draw me to yourself. Lord, teach me how to walk with you, how to rest with you. Teach me how to follow you. God will hear our prayer and answer it. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.